Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. San Diego Comic-Con is going on, and man, there's a lot of announcements that came out prior to it for Dynamite. Of all of them, I'm really looking forward to the Lone Ranger coming back. I really enjoyed that comic, so I'm really stoked. I just wish there'd be like an Atari announcement. I'd be stoked about that. Some other things that they talked about on Dynamite, and for those of you that don't know, I'm a huge Dynamite comic fan. I like their pulp heroes a lot, and I've been getting the James Bond. I need to get caught up, and they announced another James Bond book, and I'm excited about that. Oh, the other one I'm excited about is there's another Battlestar Galactica 40th anniversary series coming out, and that should be one hell of a story. And then Lone Ranger, and then there's James Bond. Oh, I'm excited about Miss Fury coming back to comics, and that's going to be Billy Tucci coming to do that. And just as a side note, they did a me and Bill reviewed on Geek Brunch Skin and Earth. We read some of that, and that's Dynamite, and that is actually in development as a live action TV show, so that should be interesting. That's a post-apocalyptic world type story. Focuses on a girl who has kind of like an asshole boyfriend, and in this world, if I remember correctly, it really the Earth really went to shit because of people ignoring global warming and stuff like that, like President Trump. And the environment just went to crap, and pollution just contaminated everything. Everybody's using coal and when they could be using alternate power sources, and it eventually went to crap. One guy lives in the rich part of town, and the other girl lives in a poor part of town. But it was really interesting. So that's coming into development. They also showed the Titans trailer, which I think is going to be pretty doggone good. It doesn't sound like the DC Universe streaming service is going to be providing a lot, but it's like $7 a month, and for the early adapters, there's even extra 3 months, but you have to see the email. So that even brings the cost down a little more. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to do it, even if it's just for the Titans TV show. That's enough for me to spend $6 a month, in my opinion. The trailer looks phenomenal. And Robin has angst like the Wolfman series. He was like, "Fuck Batman." And at that time, that's when Robin had to find his own identity and go off on his own. So it was interesting that they chose to put the word "fuck" in it, though. I think because I do agree that a lot of people that want to see Titans are adults, but there are a lot of kids that are probably wouldn't mind seeing an adult version of the cartoon. Like, what would it be if the Titans Go characters were serious? And it doesn't look like you can have your kids do that if they're going to be throwing the F-bomb. So, in my eyes, he could have just said "screw Batman," you know, and it just kept it a lower key. And make it more appealing so a family can sit down and watch this dark vigilante thing. The Raven looks dark, which I really like. It should be an interesting series. Another thing that was interesting is sorry. Got out of work early today, that's why I'm recording this. The power went out and I stuck around for like 45 minutes and it still was having problems, and then when it came up I couldn't log on to the systems, and I don't know, it was all fucked up. So I just left. Kind of a blessing in disguise, but now tomorrow I have to kick ass and get some shit done in the morning earlier. But I'm able to record this podcast, which is pretty doggone cool. So let's see. What else did I want to mention? I haven't been privy to a lot of the news yet, but I'm sure there's a lot of announcements that I don't know about. And I'll find out what's happening on Newsarama and get caught up if there's anything huge. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there real quick and see if they have announced anything that I'm interested in. They talked about Sandman Universe. They talk about Joaquin Phoenix's Zazie Beetz. She was the Domino, is might be in the Joker movie. I think this is interesting if they go for a low budget movie. I heard some people talking about that lower budget but making money like a horror movie. I think that'd be interesting instead of making this high budget. If you kept like to a Joker story, and you can even put it in continuity because they have the concept of the multiple Jokers thing happening even in the series Gotham. So if they keep with that paradigm, you could have a Joaquin Phoenix and then the Suicide Squad Joker, Jared Leto, and coexist in the same universe, which I think would be pretty cool. There's more Comixology originals. I haven't read any of those yet. What else? There was a Jeff Lemire spotlight I would like to, and a Robert Kirkman spotlight. I'd like to read that. Three Jokers lands at Black Label, but is it in DC continuity? So that's weird that I was just talking about it and they have an article about that. And then they talk about John Shazam with Dale Eaglesham. That's going to be cool. The only thing I didn't like is the costumes have like this sky looking pattern within the lightning bolt, and I think that sucks. The art looks great, and it looks like there's other colors of Shazams, and I'm okay with it. It'll be interesting to see if it's like the kids around Flashpoint. They had like the concept of a group of kids becoming having the power of Shazam. So that'll be interesting. DC Universe is going to be open at $7.99. If you buy the subscription earlier, it'll be cheaper. Pre-orders are at $7.99 per month. It might go up from there. I know a lot of people probably think that's expensive for what they're offering. But hell, if you have the money, why not? It's only $8. It's like watching a movie. And if you get to watch Titans and a couple of cartoons, you get your money's worth, in my opinion. It's like going to the theater. What else? There's so many news. Why the Last Man is making Gail Simone is named Chief Architect at the Superhero Catalyst Prime. That's interesting. Because to me, Gail Simone is like the female version of Geoff Johns. And why I say that is I think they're really good at advancing characters' history with paying respect to things that happened in the past. And I think she's good for continuity of that universe. Just scanning. There's an Electric Warriors revive. I don't actually own the Electric Warriors, at least I don't think so. The Lost City Explorers is coming to TV, so that's an Aftershock book. So yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. Black Manta images, maybe from Aquaman. Something about a new Superman movie might have Brainiac, but at least a desire to have Brainiac in it. I heard that too. I think Brainiac would make a fantastic villain. Just scanning to see if anything else jumps out at me. Ooh, this is a trailer that looks badass, okay? And who told me about this was Barb. She says, "Mike, I know you don't like to watch trailers, but there's something that I think you're gonna like because I know how much you love World War II movies, and I think they flip this movie into something else after you see the trailer, and it's a preview for Overlord, J.J. Abrams produced book, and it looks like it takes two of my favorite genres, war movies, World War II, and horror, and combines them into this movie, and it looked absolutely fantastic." Harley wants to come in, and then you'll hear me open the door again in about 10 minutes, and she'll go out. And just as a ramble, I had went to Target the other day, and I picked a, I like looking at the DVD section. I'm all about physical stuff. And I found something really interesting. When I was young, I watched the movie Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. And I found that movie, but what this has, it has the TV series I didn't know anything about, which stars Gina Lee Nolan from Baywatch. I didn't know they had a series about Sheena. And then it also features bonus episodes from the original 50s series, and that I'm really interested in. A matter of fact, I've been getting like real retro, like with the TV stuff. I ordered the Superman, Adventures of Superman full collection, and I want to delve into that. And I have coming from Amazon some old serials from Captain Marvel and Black Hawk. Awesome, huh? I can't believe I've never seen those two for sure. I have seen some Superman in serial because it used to be in syndication at some point, and I was able to check out a few episodes when I was younger. And now I'm going to be able to see Captain Marvel, see how they adapt him, and I've been reading a hell of a lot of Black Hawk and see how that went on film. I know it's old as shit, but it should be really interesting. There's going to be an IMAX release of The Dark Knight, which should be I might go see that again because I've only I loved The Dark Knight, but it was so dark it was hard for me to digest. Like, it's not a movie I like want to watch over and over again, but to see it on the IMAX, it might be worth it for me. There's going to be a lot of digital first. I say, fuck that. Give me paper first and let the digital people suffer a little bit. It's not fair. And I think that there's probably a lot more news coming out that I'd like to talk about. But those are the key highlights. Oh, The Normals is another Aftershock book option for a TV show. So, yep, there's going to be a lot of stuff. So, what else do I want to get into? I want to get into questions. Well, oh, I want to talk about something because you're going to do a quick shout out, okay? I love people. Like, I mean, there's people that listen to my shows and they're just so kind to me, and I try to pay it back to some people. I think I did something good this week. But I had a lot of good things happen. A coworker who I did go to Denver Comic Con with, like, man, it was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, before they started aligning Heroes Con with Denver Comic Con, I went, and we had a good time, and he had left a book on my, well, he came by and he says, "Do you have this?" And I was like, "What is this? I've never seen it before." It looked like one of those, I forget what the term is for them, but you used to buy them at school and they'd like fold open, but it was a hardcover book and it had the bat symbol on it. I was like, "What is this?" And I thumbed through a few pages. There was no title on it, and it looked like it was Batman's diary with a lot of newspaper clippings and like designs for his vehicles and how the cave looked. And what it turned out to be is the Batman files. I didn't even know it existed. And there's one for Superman too. And he gave it to me because he says I had two of them. He accidentally ordered two of them. And that was a pleasant surprise. And then the next day I came in and there's these, man, I forget what those damn things are. They're like these little things from, I don't even know who the toy company is, but they're like rabbits. And he gave me a Galactus rabbit. And it's like the best one. I got some of these fig these little figures of the Justice League and Flash and stuff a long time ago, and he knew I got one, and he got me one from Galactus, and by far it's the best looking one. So I really got a lot of nice things this week. So that came, and then on top of it, well, I'm not gonna spoil it, but I got an IM from my brother, and my birthday is coming up. And he said, "Mike, I'm here's your birthday gift, a picture of what I got you." And I don't want to spoil it, but I was like, "Holy crap. It's the first appearance of somebody, and I don't own it." And I was really shocked, and I'm very happy to get it. And I'll talk about it when I get it. And it's a CGC copy in fine condition, which is awesome because that's usually the target that I'm looking for. I don't need to have like a 9.8 or any of that shit. And you know what I'm gonna do when I get it is I'm gonna crack that fucker open, 'cause that's just me. And then I ordered from Aaron Myers, super collector, and he sells comics as well. Almost a full run of Invaders. Okay, so I was just missing issue 20, and they arrived today. Got that collection in. I am gonna probably have to replace one because one is I knew going in it was kind of beat up. It's a little bit like a low-end VG, and I want a fine copy of that or higher. So I'll probably have to buy number one. But this run was missing 20, and I just got an IM from Reed, who's in, like, I've met him several times, Bonneville, on Twitter, and he used to listen to Geek Brunch. I don't know if he still does, the feed, and I met him at HeroesCon several times, and just a really nice guy. He just IM'd me, and he said, "I'll put Avengers 20 in the mail for you." So I'm just blessed, okay? I'm a blessed dude. I love comics, and I love people that have passion. You know, they get excited about this fucking piece of paper with two staples in it, and I it's so exciting. It's just overwhelming. To be liked enough to get things, you know. Very cool, and I'm very excited about that. And then I asked for some questions, and I'm gonna try to get through a handful today. I didn't have a lot, but Nick came through, and Kirk as well. And I think they list. Well, I know Nick listens to the show. I think Kirk does from time to time. Kirk is the huge Sergeant Rock or any kind of military comics. Him and Ross Mushad just freaking love any kind of DC military or any kind of military comic, especially World War II, even Enemy Ace, World War I. But Kirk asks, what are your current favorite indie titles? So that's a tough question because I'm such a mood reader and I don't stick with anything. So I'm going to answer this in terms of things I've read recently that just sort of pops out as being like really fantastic in the indie world. Recently, I finished Sword Quest, which was the Atari Dynamite thing. God, I hope they do another Atari book. Absolutely fantastic. Spectacular. This is based on the video game, and it takes a humanistic approach with the historical approach of the Atari video game Sword Quest, which had three games and one unreleased game. And if it has a realistic feel to this because it's a guy that is bad on his luck, he loses his job, his house goes on fire, he finds out he's dying, and two of his best friends, they're adults now, they were twins, and they used to be big into Sword Quest, and they have to go on this adventure to steal the sword of the game that you could win if you completed the fourth game, and this thing supposedly exists. They used to give awards for these Atari games, and they were like physical objects. And I don't know much about them, but I did read the back matter, and I think it's fantastic. But that's what that centers around, and it was great. The other thing that I read, and I think it's amazing, is Die, Die, Die. This is the one that he didn't solicit, and he gave to shops who ordered another Robert Kirkman book, Oblivion Song. And I was able to pick up a copy of this at the store. And it's very political, and it's about the senator. She can order assassinations, and she really thinks these out. Like, she really thinks about how she needs to manipulate certain things for the desired outcome. And she really plots this stuff, and it's really a fascinating story. And that I've read twice because I liked it so much. I don't have a lot of time to read so much. The other one that I wasn't planning on getting but became a huge, like, I absolutely loved it, was the sci-fi comic Outpost Zero. This was a bunch of kids. Well, it's not, it's adults and kids and families that are living on this like asteroid, and it focuses on the characterization of the kids, and there's like a caste system, like you get casted in to like work for engineering if you score high on your tests, or if you're not, you might be in some area that you don't care for, and but each kid has a chance to test into the strongest area where he can help this colony survive on this asteroid, and there's a life-threatening object coming to crash in on this area, this outpost, and this is them dealing with it. Really good comic, really good comic. Let's see, is there anything? Oh, Monica's Friendship Paradox. Early issues I rated a 4 out of 5, but as I hit 4 and 6 through 6, and she had back matter and she started putting these like multi-thread plots that are going on, there's so much happening. It was almost like a Bronze Age plot. I loved it, loved it. So that was another indie that I really, really dug. The Mall was a free comic book day one. The Barrier was a free comic book day one. I haven't read the subsequent issues. The Mall number 2 hasn't come out yet. Barrier, which was, it came out as a free comic book day, but this was the digital only book that Brian K. Vaughan put out, and it came out in a large format. But the free comic book day was regular size, and I have the rest of the issues. I just got to get down to reading it. Cul-de-sac was a horror anthology, absolutely fantastic. Shadow Roads, I never read The Sixth Gun, but I was able to jump in this title and absolutely love it. Survival Fetish has been pretty badass. Skyward has been fantastic. I'm just trying to hit the highlights. The 12 from Archaea, I mean Archaea, Alterna. I sometimes say them wrong. Regression from Cullen Bunn and Image, absolutely fantastic. I read an old issue of Gravedigger from Action Lab. Really awesome crime pulp. So there's just something that I'll be talking about as I get closer to catching up in Mike M's Weekly Reads. But that's a good question, Kirk, and thank you for that. It keeps this show going. If I don't have stuff to talk about, then why do the show? And you, if you guys provide me comments and stuff, it leads me to talk about stuff and go down rabbit holes. And if I have just a little, I can make a lot. How's that sound? Nick asked some good questions. How was your parents with your comic collecting habit growing up? Looking for an example or two. My dad created this, Nick. Never really knew comics, or they weren't a big part of my life until I hit about 5 years old. And my dad took me to the dump, the garbage dump. And I think I've told this story before. And drug stores and outlets used to rip off the cover. Sometimes only half the cover, and send it back and get refunded on some of these periodicals. And they used to throw the boxes of comics out as they aged. And I would go with my dad. Yes, I'd have to walk through trash, but the books were unaffected because they were already boxed up. They were in boxes, and I would grab the box. The box might be a little dirty, but it kept the contents of the books okay. And I would take these boxes of comics and just learn to read. And at first it was like pictures, and as I was in kindergarten learning to read more, I was learning the words, and it made me want to learn the words. I'm like, what are these characters saying? And so my dad created it, and they've never, ever, ever thought I had too much. They encouraged my hobby, even though well, it gave me a good work ethic too. Because comics weren't ever gonna be something they could just take me and say, "Here's $5, go buy a bunch of comics." We didn't have that much money, so yes, from time to time they'd say, "Here's 25 cents, you can get a comic." But it instilled a good work ethic in me. It taught me that if I did neighborhood things like mow grasses and stuff, I could earn allowance and money and from neighbors, and accumulate that money and go to the comic stores and buy books. And they would drive me there. So they encouraged it, and they thought it was good because it kept my imagination going. And I was a jock, and I was a geek. I was a nerd because I was smart. But they always knew that comics were a big part of my life and supported everything. My mom and dad never really read comics, except for my mom was real big into Vampire Lestat. And when Innovation came out with those, I would buy those for her. And she just recently gave me them back, so I own them and just completed that collection, believe it or not. But, yeah, I've always loved comics, and my parents have always supported it, and they've never said, and they were that way with toys too. My parents never got rid of it. They knew I would want, I took care of my toys. They knew I never wanted to throw it out. They even stuff that I've lost over the years, like my dad recently, I was always wondering what happened to my Millennium Falcon, the original one. I had a third or fourth generation one. Which is way bigger than the original one that I had. But my dad was in the attic and he said, "I found your Millennium Falcon." So he gave me that. And then recently, my mom had found a bunch of those little trade paperbacks that had Mad Magazine and a few of the ones from Fireside, the Marvel Fireside books. So they knew I would never throw anything away. Unlike my brother would destroy everything. He did keep his comics, but other than his comics, his toys were just trashed. So they've never like said, "Oh, we're gonna sell your shit at the f at a garage sale or anything, or have to deal with any of that." They always knew that I loved what I loved, and I wanted to keep it forever. So God bless them. Because some parents would want to get rid of people's stuff, and my parents knew that this stuff put me at peace. It kept me in other worlds and let me escape reality. Even though reality in my eyes has never been bad to me, I've always worked hard. They've always taught me to work hard to play hard, and I always had that mentality. Even though like I was the first of my mom's siblings, my mom's side of the family, and maybe even my dad's side of the family to go to college, and they instilled that, hey, we don't have the money to pay for your college, but son, you can pay your own way, and you could get scholarships, and do things to work hard. So they instilled that in me, and I ended up going to college and not paying a cent because I got good grades. I knew I had to get good grades. I knew I had to work hard to play hard. And those things they taught me, they were just valuable lessons. Like, I'm gonna break down because I love my parents so much. But they were always so good. Like, we didn't have a lot of money, so they would like save all year for these vacations, and we couldn't even stay in a hotel. We'd go in an Apache camper. But shit, I mean, my dad was like Chevy Chase in vacation, because he would take us on these Disneyland trips and everything, 'cause he worked hard. 'Cause he knew in the summer we could play hard. And I don't know, man. It's hard for me to talk about it without breaking down, because I know that you can't choose your parents. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, they're the best. They've done so much for me. I can't even say how much they've done. They've just And I wouldn't trade it for the world. Like, I had friends that had parents that had money, and I wouldn't be where I am today if they didn't tell me I needed to work for everything. And the same with Barb. That's why we just knew we had to work hard. We knew we had to work hard, and it just instilled so much values. Like, I can't even describe how good. I'm glad I wasn't a spoiled kid. I'm glad I had to work for everything. Even when I was in sports, I was so goddamn short. I had to work 5 times harder than those kids that were taller than me. And my dad would go out there and he would teach me stuff like how to guard these guys, how to block them out. He says, you plant your feet, these guys are you, and you push them back, even though they're taller, they're gonna have to foul you to get the ball if you just work hard." And I don't know, man. I can't tell you. God, they're good parents, but I went off on a huge tangent. I don't even think I'm gonna talk about any books today. besides finish these questions. The next question is, when you look at each of the DC Comics Trinity, what area do you enjoy them in the most? It's by easily the Bronze Age, because that's where I grew up, and that is my favorite era for even Marvel Comics or any kind of comic. It's the Bronze Age. I am growing. I have a huge Silver Age collection, and I am growing my Golden Age collection, and I'm getting a lot of hardcovers that reprint the Golden Age, and I'm finding the Golden Age absolutely fantastic. And I think I'm gonna have to wrap this up pretty soon, because Barb's gonna be here. She might already be here. But what announcements are you looking for out for at San Diego Comic-Con? Not anything particular, because there's announcements all year, really, and they're all pretty exciting. I mean, I just read off a whole bunch of them. The last one is, if you can transplant one hero set of villains to another different hero, who would it be and why? I would love to see the Batman villains tackle somebody that is on the Marvel Universe, because I think you gave an example of, like, Spider's Rogue Gallery dealing with Batman. Well, I'll throw it back at you and I'll say Batman's Rogues Gallery going at Spider-Man or Daredevil, because I love Daredevil so much. So it would be in a good amalgam thing. Oh, not amalgam, because amalgam's like a mismatch, a mashing up of two characters, but like a DC crossover event, which they have done, like Daredevil, Batman, and Spider-Man, Superman, and they do a really good job in those about intertangling the villains, because they'll throw in villains that fit those characters, and then they'll have like one of the Marvel villains deal with the DC villain, and the DC villain deal with the Marvel villain. So yeah, it's fantastic. But I might have to pause this. Let me see if Barb's here, because I would like to do the weekly reads, but it'll take me a while. Whoa, stay, Harley. No. Come here. No, come here. So I'm gonna end this part, and I'll be back later with Mike M's weekly reads for like around 2017 of November-ish, or I think it's November. So thank you, Kirk. Thank you, Nick, for those questions. I hope you enjoyed the answers, and we'll see you soon. And there'll be a winner for the 80 the 100 page giant from Walmart soon, so I'll be announcing that probably next episode. There was only six entries, which is kind of disappointing, but it gives those people a better chance of winning the product, so that's good for them, and I'm happy for them. So I will talk to you later, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Hello, and welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads again. I'm back. I'm gonna go through 2 weeks worth of books just to keep the rhythm going, because I would like to get caught up. And if I do two episodes a week, roughly, and I do 4 weeks a week, eventually the math will add up and I'll get caught up. So let's start at October 23rd, 2017 to October 29th of 2017. Again, the scores are 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, I did not like it. 1, I hated it. Start at the bottom. Let's do a summary of what we had. I had 30 books that week. 19 Marvel. You're gonna see some strong Marvel numbers in the next few times because this was a phase where I was really digging into my Marvel Unlimited and catching up on some Marvel stuff. So yeah, I was in a phase there, and I also must have let's see. No, this is the next week. The next week I must have been on a Geek Brunch week because of what it turned out to be. So there was 19 Marvel, 2 Image, 1 Devil's Due Publishing, and one eight sorry, and 8 DC Comics for a total of 30 comics. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it. We had Batman Shadow number 3. Batman is destined to become the next Shadow. Joker and the Shadow villain team up. You know what? Sometimes when I read these, I'm surprised because I remember liking this a lot more than it turned out to be. And I don't know if it's with subsequent issues or what happened, but I remember it fondly. So it's interesting that I rated it a 3 out of 5. This kind of fun thing to go through just to see what kind of scores I did here. We have Batman 11 through 12. This is Batgirl versus Ethan. This is the son of Penguin. And Ethan has to save Penguin. She defeats him by tricking him to follow her into the internet-free area. Batgirl tries to solve a case of a haunted swimming pool. That was the backup, I believe, or the second issue. And the Ethan one, what started off so much better than what it ended up to be, but because of that, it was cool because of the internet stuff. Like he had this app where you would track, you could like call it, and somebody would help you come to escort you so you can walk safely from point A to point B and stuff. And I know there's a lot of interesting co concepts, but towards the end, it didn't work out as well as it started. We had Ragman number 1. This one got better for me. I know it did. It was an interesting one. We had mercenaries invading a crypt looking for gold. Only one survivor, and he became Ragman. Rory is possessed by his friends that died in that crypt. Goes back to the store to see his father, and it blows up. Some creatures were there for him. So it's got a different vibe, and when you have a character like Ragman, they tend to reinvent him every decade or so. And the only time Ragman's ever been really prominent, like he's had several series, but they're all mini series. But where he was sort of a prominent character was Shadow Pact, because that series ran for a while. But he's always been very interesting. He even was in Legends of Tomorrow, which, or was he? No, he was in Green Arrow. Sorry, I'm getting confused with all the DC shows. And he was really interesting in the show too. A matter of fact, they should bring him back now that the team is in the state that they're in. I think it would be great to bring Rory back into the show. The next 3 out of 5 I read on Marvel Unlimited. I don't even think I own this one. It was called Ghost Rider, Wolverine, Punisher, The Dark Design. The trio tries to save the world by protecting a girl from Blackheart. Blackheart wants to take down his father, Mephisto, and does so at the end of the story. So it was entertaining. I like the three characters that were in the same series. And this one, like most of these I remember reading, and this one I don't remember. So this was probably a Marvel Unlimited like after midnight read. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Gotham City Garage 1 and 2. In this dystopian future, people are plugged into the internet and seem more like machines. Kara Supergirl is raised by Commissioner Gordon. and escapes the dome to join a female gang in the Outlands. So very much like Road Warrior-ish. The bad guys seem to be in, just seem to be Batman and in Red Hood armor. So they're actually Batman and characters that are seem like the bad guys. The second issue, they go after a supply truck, and Supergirl is learning from Big Barda. We have Power Pack number one. This was a Marvel Unlimited read. I'm gonna check to see the database to see if I own any Power Pack. I thought it was ridiculous at the time it was coming out, but I'm more interested in reading it now than I ever have been. And just like I thought, I don't own many of this series. I remember this picking up this issue. I own number nine, and this is one that I bought at one of those Stuckies on one of those vacation trips. With my mom and dad and brother going to California, I believe. It was either that or Vegas. We stopped at a Stuckey's, and I remember I was always gonna try books that I didn't know what they were or that I wouldn't buy at the drugstore back home, and or at the comp this at 65 cents. It must have been the comic shop. I was going to Don's paperback books at that time. So this one I remember enjoying. I was like pleasantly surprised, but never ever came back to it. That one I picked up at a Stuckey's along with a King Conan, I remember specifically. And then I own 27, which was part of the Mutant Massacre, and also starred Wolverine and X-Factor. And the type I probably picked it up because it was crossed over with some of the books I was reading at the time. We have Giant Size Defenders number 5. This is I was going through and reading a lot of the Defenders masterworks at this time. And I really got into Steve Gerber as you've been listening to the weeks. I've been trying to get back into the Defenders. And this one was the Guardians of the Galaxy go back in the past to help the Defenders fight a strange aquatic alien creature that can bring down the Earth. The Guardians also meet Vance Astro as a kid, so that was pretty interesting. We have The Life and Death of Captain Marvel graphic novel, and this is actually the death of Captain Marvel because he dies of cancer because of Nitro. And I've never read this one. This is like one of those issues that everybody's talked about, and I just never got around to reading it. And I read this in physical form because I finally bought a copy. Now, it's not a first print. I think this thing had like 4 or 5 prints. And I think I have like one of the later prints, but it was nice reading it in paper. Rick and the others are helpless to save him when he's dying of cancer, and he has a vision of him fighting Thanos before his death, and death takes him away. We have X-Men Gold number 14 and X-Men Blue 7 through 14, and I just summarize these all as one big series. It's a fantastic tie-in with Secret Empire as the X-Men take on Emma and New Teon. The fight, Morrow, Mondo, Toad, Firestar, and Wolfsbane. Many are showing secondary mutations. Emma tries to turn Scott into the man she loves, but is rescued in time. But is rescued in time. Cap confronts Magneto. Blackbird is really danger, and Polaris confronts Havoc. So there's a lot of quarrels. Emma defeats but gains control at the end. Goblin Queen has Beast turn and bring the Hexmen. They're not X-Men, Hexmen, like Jonah Hex, the Hexmen to fight the X-Men. Jean and Scott escape to help with help from Rishka. They're actually Mandipore mutants. So if you ever hear Raksha, that's the Mandipore mutants. Miss Sinister is behind the secondary mutations as Wolverine and Angel find out they fight the version of the Blob. Beast betrays Goblin Queen and saves the day, but at the cost of his own soul. The crossover into Mojo World, where we have Death of Bloodstorm. That's like the vampire or Storm, who the Demon Queen resurrected. Longshot shows up to help the X-Men. Mojo is displaying this to all of Earth, and the X-Men are divided into different game worlds of mutant past adventures. X-Men appear to be dying, but Mojo is keeping them alive. He is transforming the Earth to be the new Mojo world. So it's the Mojo crossover, and that's why I had X-Men Gold 14 above, so because it syncs in together. We have Jean Grey, number 5 through 8. This is a surprising series for me. I've never been a huge Jean Grey fan, but I really enjoyed her solo series. Jean's, and this is the Jean Grey, the younger one that Beast brought back from the past. Jean seeks the help of Psylocke to try to find a way to calm the voices and fights an undead ninja. Then she heads to Doctor Strange and they go into her head to find out the other Jean Grey, who is the Phoenix Force, has been the voice in her mind. Scarlet Witch teaches her how to deal with so much power. Meanwhile, Jean Grey's voice is driving her crazy. Jean then goes into Emma Frost's mind and I say, holy shit. Must have had a bit of, I mean, a great time as she went into her mind. Because I wrote holy shit. Redlands 2 and 3, the three witches are stock. This is when I started to really dig this series. It really was different than one. The three witches are stalked by what looks to be a serial killer, but could be a hero in the story. It's hard to see at this point. They capture a student virgin for sacrifice to stay young. Witches do. There is a gator man who can shift into a bounty hunter and brings in wanted fellows, felons. He finds, I don't know what I mean. He finds a naked serial killer in the lake and captures him. I don't know why I wrote that. I don't remember that. The killer manages to throw a witch into the swamp, and also the gator man. The dog bites the killer's dick, and the gator man throws the killer to the gators. That's a good issue. Mother Panic, 11 through 12. Jane confronts Mother Panic, Violet, and knows her identity. She later drugs her and brings her to the artist killer lady. Mother Panic escapes and kills Jane with art. Jane had betrayed Violet in the past. The mother of Violet knows more about her daughter than people think. And then there's the radio show host murders backup. We then get into the 5 out of 5, which is Amazing Adventures 1 and 2. When Inhumans was starring in it with Black Widow, we have Maximus starts a war with the Fantastic Four, so the Inhumans attack them. Maximus launched. What did I say? We're planted with the Four symbol. I don't even know what I said there. And he's defeated, so Maximus was defeated. Black Widow is dating a rich Hollywood type and has to help the maid with her son, was going to get killed for owing money. So there's a maid that has a son, and Black Widow wants to help the son because he owes money. She saves him, but the son takes over a building to help the poor at the expense of the law. He also figured out her identity, and I don't think I ever got to 3. I should get back on that. And I was reading that in a Marvel Unlimited. I do have some of these issues, but I don't think I have all the Inhumans issues. Finally, Malefic number 2. This is Dawn Schafer stuff from Devil's Due. She gets introduced to two more patients, one who has the key to her brain to turn up or down her telekinesis. She murdered 40 people in her school and makes it sound like she was Carrie. But she was popular and did it for fame. then are introduced to a patient who needs a new identity via masks, which represents a new face. She answers the phone to a patient, 11, and the phone is connected to her brain. Was told never to answer the phone. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird shit. As if you remember from the first issue, she was a psychiatrist who was having an affair with one of her patients who was a serial killer, and that like turned things around. And then her father passed away and he left her a sanitarium, and then she goes back to the sanitarium and has these weird patients that are there, and things just get surreal. So we then jump into October 30th, 2017 through November 5th, 2017. We'll start at the bottom. We had 26 comics that week, 3 Valiant, 10 Marvel, 1 Image, 5 DC, 1 Comics Tribe, 4 Black Box, 1 Alternative, and 1 Action Lab. That was a geek brunch week, you can tell. Action Comics, we'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We had Action Comics 990, Superman tries to stop a war from happening from 2 leaders. Jor-El takes Jonathan and convinces him that the humans are bad. If you remember, this is around the time that Jor-El was being portrayed as he was Ozymandias, which came out of the Rebirth, DC Universe Rebirth. We have Eternity Number 1. This is Matt Kent, and it's part of the Divinity series. The Observer has been murdered, and Divinity's child is kidnapped. So if you remember the previous volume Divinity there, he was with another one of the other godlike beings, and they had a child. And this child was kidnapped by an alien race because that Observer got murdered, and the child's destiny is to take the place of that Observer. Good series. I think I appreciated it more as time went on. We have Detective Comics 558. Batman and Robin and Catwoman apprehend Night Slayer, who apparently murdered Nocturnus. Batman takes Catwoman to the hospital and Night Slayer to GCPD and returns to Robin, who is dealing with Crisis of Red Skies. So it's right before Crisis on Infinite Earths. And weird weather and an obsessed security guard who loved Nocturna and left his wife. Some hints that Batman loves Nocturna and Catwoman. And this was really interesting. I think I was listening to Gotham by Geeks, and I had read this before. One of them, I think it was Campbell or one of those guys, had covered this issue, because I remember they were talking about the security guard. We have Adventures into Fear. People and the Man-Thing are losing control and hate is taking over. This is Adventures into Fear number 15. A creature is using the book to control people. That was the one that was stolen from the grandpa and the 2 grandchildren. And Man-Thing is in the Nexus fighting in an arena. We have Astonishing X-Men number 1. The Shadow King is attacking mutant psychics, and Psylocke calls upon many X-Men to help. They go into the Shadow Realm, where Charles Xavier and him are playing a game with the X-Men, and neither winner appears to have good intentions. So, that one's interesting. Shadow King and Xavier playing chess, sort of, with the X-Men. We have Sync number 1. Glasgow Man, who is partying, decides to catch a bus home, but misses it, and is assaulted by a group of men and rescued by a guy in a fox mask. He then gets picked up by a killer clowns in a blue van and gets beaten up and gassed. And this is actually derived from a horror myth. So if you read the back matter, you could see that there was like newspaper articles and stuff about this myth that happened a long time ago, and then they've taken that myth and turned it into a comic book. And I think Sync is just a bunch of weird stories, because I don't I think I read number two, and it had nothing to do with number one. We have Punisher Max the Platoon. I think we're going to be covering the rest of this volume on Geek Brunch very soon. Me and Bill talked about it this weekend. A reporter interviews some of Punisher's platoon to find out what he was like during the Vietnam War. We have Black Betty Comic Fest Halloween special. It's the introduction of the character into the Danger Zone universe, and her catch is she's really not a heroine, but she hunts down monsters. And some of those girls like Zombie Tramp and Dollface and Vamp Blade, they're all considered monsters to her. So it's like writing a character that's on the other side of the fence. The next one is Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica. It's a crossover between DC and Archie. So we have Lodge wants to destroy the swamp for a college and shopping mall and gets Ivy's attention. Harley and Ivy dress in new costumes, Betty and Veronica going to Gotham. Interesting story. It was pretty entertaining. We have Batman 34, a 4 out of 5. So we got a Tom King book, a 4 out of 5. We got Batman and Catwoman. I enjoyed this Talia arc. I really did. Batman and Catwoman go visit Talia to find Holly Robinson. Kind of important to what is happening in 50. Might be another good issue to revisit because Holly plays a big part in issue 50. She challenges Batman to a sword fight and stabs him. What did I say? The challenges Catwoman. You'd probably say she challenges Catwoman and she pulls the blade out of Batman to fight her. So she stabs Batman and then pulls the blade out of Batman so she could fight Catwoman. Dick and Damian are just outside chilling the entrance where Talia is kept. We have defense, and that involved the Justice League too. Like he wasn't supposed to break into this cave of some sort, but he did anyway. We have Defenders number 26. This is the first volume. Valkyrie's husband tries to convince her to love him, and gotta remember that once Valkyrie entered her body, she forgot who she was. So her husband is just trying to get her to remember, and she doesn't remember shit about him. The team is working with the Guardians of the Galaxy to defeat the Badoon, and you can see how that ties into a Defenders that I talked about, one of those giant-sized Defenders I just talked about. We have Captain Marvel, Volume 1, Number 1. This is the Kree Captain Marvel in the white and green outfit. I started reading this on Marvel Unlimited, I remember. The Captain fights a Kree sentry robot who wants to set off nukes. Carol Danvers is saved by Marvel, and Marvel stops Sentry, who was started by a jealous Kree soldier. He's actually above the earth, kind of monitoring stuff, ready to cause havoc. And he's in that spaceship with Marvel's true love at the time, so that's interesting. We had Bloodshot, Salvation 1 and 2. Bloodshot has a child with magic, and the father of magic has a cult and keeps calling her on the phone. Bloodshot goes after Daddy without Magic's blessing after he answers the phone one time. And then it cuts to a future Bloodshot is apparently dead, but his other Bloodshots rescue Magic and the child from Rampage. We have Crosswind number one. A contract killer cleaner has to kill his best friend and rescue his boss's relative. A woman who is sexually assaulted by neighbors and stepson's friend has a horrible husband. They switch places because of the magic bum who touches them. So you have the contract killer switching places with the woman who has been sexually harassed. So it's like a Freaky Friday type thing. We have Thor 402 through 406. Odin needs his son back to protect Asgard from the Odin sleep, Both him and Thor are having dizzy spells. Thor unwillingly forced back by Odin, and he has to fight Annihilus because Asgard has drifted into the negative zone. After he wins, he asks Odin to go back to Earth because of Eric Masterson's son is missing his dad because Mongoose captured him. Mongoose stole the DNA from Thor and provided it to scientists that he used to work for the High Evolutionary. Thor defeats the attack and frees Masterson, but then is told that they have to free High Evolutionary and Hercules. He goes with Masterson and Wundagore residents to free them. We then have a black box comic called IT, The Secret World of Modern Banking, number 2 through 5. A bank employee is abused by his bosses. One boss uses him to break into a laptop that the CIA is looking for. Upper management is laundering money every night electronically to gamble and share in the profits. Certain customers notice their accounts are being depleted. The IT guy finds out who is behind it. They get arrested at the end of the book, but not because management wanted it. And finally, the 5 out of 5 is slasher number 4. The killer girl is assaulted by the two brothers and gets her hand cut off. Cops come to rescue, but get killed by brothers, and brothers get shot. They get killed by the brothers, and the brothers get shot. Girl goes back in the house, puts on the mask, and there's only one cop left. So that's a Charles Forsman. Excellent. I hope you enjoyed listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can reach me on Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of me, at Mike Myers Brunch. And my email is mike@comicbooknoise.com. Any questions or comments can be sent either to at Mike Myers Brunch or to the email mike@comicbooknoise.com. I want to thank you for listening. The website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, and you can get to the family webpage, the Geek Brunch webpage at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And leave feedback there. I'm starting to crash out. So that is it. I am sleepy and tired, and I'm not gonna pass go or collect $100. I am going straight to bed, and I will talk to you later. Thank you for listening to Mike M's, and we'll be back in another 3 or 4 days. So I'll talk to you later, and we'll announce the winner to the 100-page giant Batman edition from Walmart. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. Take it easy. Bye.